Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. Happy eclipse season, friend. I happen to live in the path of totality for the upcoming April 8th full solar eclipse. It will happen just a few days after this episode is released. We are expecting a huge influx of eclipse tourists. This is a new concept. The last eclipse in 2017 had people traveling into the path of totality, but that didn't happen here. There are states of emergency issued in towns, counties within the path of totality so that they have the resources to deal with all of the traffic and all of the people. And here, as I'm recording this, we are just beginning a snowstorm, which is threatening to bring more than a foot of snow to our area and will make many of the mountain trails very, very muddy, if not icy, or completely snow covered again, meaning that it might be a little bit dangerous out there. The eclipse is, of course, a magical occurrence. Not because eclipses don't happen, they do all the time, but because there is this expansion of the number of people paying attention, wanting to see the wonder, to feel the awe of witnessing such an event. For me, I'll be
working shamanically with this energy of the eclipse, as well as making sure that I get to witness it. And I'll be offering you a chance to work shamanically with the eclipse energy as well. Because every new and full moon, those who are on my newsletter list or part of my Shamanic Flow Circle Facebook group get invited onto a conference call to be guided in journey, to share experiences, and to connect with other shamanic practitioners. And all you have to do is either sign up for the newsletter or join the Shamanic Flow Circle group on Facebook, and you will receive that invitation. These are completely complimentary. They are a conference call. It is an audio-only experience, meaning that you do not have to make sure your hair looks good. They're at 9 o'clock in the evening, my time, which means that I'm probably in my pajamas because as soon as we're done, I'm going to sleep. And they are a really great opportunity to learn or continue your practice of shamanic journeying. I guide you. We follow a format of moving into sacred place and then working with whatever element is related to the astrological sign of the new or full moon. And we get to journey together to build community, to begin to co-create something really magical. So you are invited. The links for what you need to sign up are in the show notes. One of my practices, which I engage in every day, which I will be engaging in on the eclipse day, is my sit spot meditation. So just briefly, a sit spot is a place where you go as regularly as you can. I do it daily, to simply sit, to be in nature, and to just allow the natural world to get used to your presence. So for me, it is a practice of mindfulness, of observation, of grounding. And I do it on my own land every morning. I joke about having a squirrel sangha, my meditation partners. And I've been practicing for 4 years and then some. And the practice has morphed and changed for me. Sometimes I go into my sit spot prayerful. Sometimes I'm contemplating something. Sometimes I am just sitting and observing and trying to be present. That's where I was this morning. Working on being present. Working on what I ask you to work on in the introduction to this podcast, recognizing that I am here and the time is now. If you're interested in creating a sit spot meditation and you want more details, go back to episode 117 because I've got much more instruction in there. But that's not really what I want to talk about in this episode. I want to talk about what I do after. So when I come inside from my sit spot meditation, I have my head full of information. I saw a red squirrel, two gray squirrels, my favorite little chipmunk with a short tail, the blue jays. I heard a woodpecker drumming on a tree. It was overcast. It's damp. The birds were particularly quiet today. I felt off. My mind wandered. I had to keep coming back to the present. So what do I do with all of that information that's in my head? I come in and I get out my journal. I have a specific journal that I use for my nature observations. It is my nature journal. I have two, actually. One is a very specific purchased naturalist journal that has the advantage of having a calendar type layout with 5 years laid out next to each other so that I can do quick notes about what I observe. And the advantage of that is that I can go back to April 3rd last year, the year before that, the year before that, and notice, are things the same? Are they different? If I look at the 2 weeks around this day, are things changing in kind of the same way? Are there anomalies? Right? So that is a really great way to track the cycles, the stuff that happens seasonally, and to notice the deviations from those cycles, which as climate change continues, we are going to need to start paying attention to because we're going to have a new reality. So that's one piece. And then the other piece is my notebook where I get to journal in detail. So what do I write about? I write about the weather. I write that it was bright and sunny. It was cloudy. Or like today, it was very gray and damp and cold. I record the temperature. I record what phase the moon is in. And then I record who I saw. I record that there was a red squirrel and gray squirrels and chipmunks and blue jays, and that the pine siskins were in the feeder, and that I heard but did not see the woodpecker. I heard a crow caw. Depending on the season, I might be recording a garter snake, a chickadee, a nuthatch, the fox that ran through the woods, the hawk that circled. And so all of these beings that are around me, who do I see? Who do I hear? I also record the things that I can't quite identify. The behavior of the animals that I'm not sure I understand. Like this morning, something startled the red squirrel who ran up the tree. sat on a branch and complained for quite some time, sounding his alarm call. And when things like that happen, I notice how the other animals around react. Sometimes an alarm call will go up and everyone will scatter. And sometimes they don't. What did the red squirrel see? I don't know. Once the red squirrel came out of the tree, he got busy chasing the gray squirrel, chasing the chipmunk. I noticed that too. There are times when all those different species just kind of hang out together. And there are times when they get territorial. I write that down. And I also notice the trees and the plants. As I'm recording this, the trees here are just starting to get buds. Remember that I'm very far north. There's that time when they start to get buds. There's the time when they leaf out. There's the time when they're full. And then, of course, in the autumn, the colors change, the leaves fall, the trees are bare. When does that start happening? When do each of those stages begin? I notice that. I record it. I also am learning what kinds of trees I have around me. The yellow birch, whom I sit next to when I go out for my sit spot, got buds before the sugar maples. Of course, there are evergreens. The eastern hemlocks do not yet have new growth, nor do the white pines or the cedars. When they do, I'll record that. The other thing I notice is when the pine cones come down, when the acorns come down, and how many there are. Trees that produce nuts and seeds sometimes have what's called mast years, where for some reason they will all of a sudden all create a whole bunch of those nuts or seeds. This past year was a mast year for the pine trees. There are pine cones everywhere. The eastern hemlocks have also had mast years. Their pine cones are very small and clustered under the underside of the trees and don't always come down until the squirrels get to them. But I can see those explosions of cones in the tree. The oaks do the same. Some years there are tons of acorns, other years there are hardly any. What's really interesting is that the trees seem to get together. And a whole region's worth of trees will do the same thing. Now, whether they're responding to some specific weather event or something like that, or they're communicating with each other through that network of mycelium that allows them to talk to each other. It doesn't matter. But noticing. And if you've been doing this kind of journaling and you say, oh, there's a ton of acorns this year, you can go back and see, well, what were the conditions like this year? And then the next time that there's a mass year, you can go back and see, are they the same kind of conditions? So these are all things that I write in my journal. And it's part of really coming into relationship with the land through observation. Discovering very experientially what is happening. I also notice the other plants. When do they start to come up? The ferns here. There are some species that are evergreen. And when the snow melts off them, it takes a little while for everything to dry out, and then their fronds just pop up. There are other species of ferns here that die back in the fall. And in the spring, their new fronds start to emerge into what's called fiddleheads. They're curled up as they come out and then slowly unfurl. I notice when that happens. When do I see those first fiddleheads? When are the evergreen ferns uncovered? When do they pop up? When do I first see the leaves of the wild violets and the flowers? Now, I have some non-native plants around my house as well. I pay attention to them too. When do the lilacs bud? When do they bloom? How much new growth is on them? When do my daylilies start to pop up? I check to see if the one little hosta that has never grown in 10 years beyond just two or three little leaves, but still comes back every year. I check to see if that has emerged. I don't really tend it. It is my intention that eventually my land will be mostly natives. But I do notice those non-natives as well. And I try to make sure that they don't get out of control. In any case, I record that all in my journal. And there's one more piece to this journaling process that I want to share. And that's recording how I feel. Right, so there are some days when my physical body actually has a hard time sitting on my half a log that is my meditation bench. But the interesting thing about it is if my physical body is feeling stiff or tight, what's the weather like? I can track that. And I also pay particular attention to my emotional state, both going into my sit spot practice and coming out, because it can shift. sometimes I notice that my mind is not settled, that my thoughts are everywhere, that I have to work really hard to keep coming back to being present. There are other days when it feels like I just belong, that I am as present to this moment as the squirrels are. I notice how my body responds to the weather. Now I go out and I sit no matter what the weather is. Even if that means I have to put on a whole bunch of layers and all of my heaviest winter outerwear, if I have to put on my rain gear, whatever, I go out and I sit. Because it's important for me to experience the world as the other beings do. To recognize that I spend a good deal of time in the artificial habitat of my home. And how would it be for me if I had to be out there all the time? It gives me something to think about, and about how we adapt to changing conditions. It all starts with observation. And I pay attention to my own emotional state as far as what's on my mind, what's happening in my life. Am I grieving? Am I sad? Am I having a good day? And does that shift as I'm sitting? These are all things I record in my journal. So my invitation for you is to begin or continue, if you already are, a practice of journaling about nature. Not just your observations, although lots and lots of those, but your own nature. How your animal body feels when you are there. And how this embodied spirit feels when you are out there. If you're catching this before the eclipse, may the eclipse day be magical.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.